chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, and this can be found on page 186 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The New Testament lesson is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and this can be found on page 167 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Okay, that's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to the human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. When we look at the scriptures that are before us, First, to say this, sometimes I have a tendency to maybe oversimplify Paul, or I might have over the last few months, because generally you say Paul writes these letters, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, etc. He writes them to the churches that he's either started or led, or he's writing to a church that he's not even gotten there yet, Romans. Yet he's writing to assist them, sometimes in a gentle nudge, or in Galatians, the white hot heat of passion, to get people back on track to following Christ, because that's the sole most important purpose for their being Christians, for them forming churches. And sometimes we oversimplify it by saying, okay, Paul is writing these letters to a group of people who have a problem. Well, how's that relevant to us today, here? We're not in Corinth. We're not in Thessalonica. We're not in the area of Galatia. We're in none of those places. We're here. So how is that relevant to us today? Well, first off, is there greed still in the world? Is there anger and animosity still in the world? Are there all of the vices, think of them, that ancient Rome had, and we've gotten rid of all of those, right? No. Are we any less subject to sin today than they were 2,000 years ago? No. Since the time of Adam, we have been making choices and decisions that are based on our human nature. And our human nature is one that we don't want in charge of our future. We want Christ in charge of our future. Because if our human nature is in charge of our future, that is our future. And that alone, a grave. But if we have Jesus as our guide, our friend, and our Savior, then that is not the future. Yeah, our earthly bodies will go out there, but we're going to see a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, with our Lord and Savior. Paul is addressing divisions in the church at Corinth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Anybody in here think that doesn't apply to you? Spirits of the flesh. We worry about the car. We worry about our clothes. We worry about our hair. We worry about our necklaces, our watches, our Fitbits, our waistlines. We worry about all kinds of things, and that's where a lot of our focus is. Now, not everybody, and not all the time. But Paul says, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you're still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. Now, here's where the kicker comes in. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm spiritual. Paul's, I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm not like all those other people. He says, for as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? Here's the evidence. I mean, if we think we're better, if we think this doesn't apply to us, wait a minute. Jealousy and quarreling. When was the last time you sat down with somebody and just had a great discussion and you walked away in complete agreement? Going to take a little bit. Unless it's on something spiritual, then what color do you like? What kind of car? What, etc. Jealousy. Oh, why don't I have that? Why do they have that? Why is it always me? Yada, yada, yada. On and on. But Paul's telling them, this church, that as long as there's jealousy and quarreling among them, then they're still like infants. They're still spiritual children, because they're arguing over who brought them to know Christ. Was it Paul or Apollos, or was it someone else? Are they better than someone else. The problem that the church at Corinth had most and foremost was that, we covered that last week and in chapter 2, it was, they thought wisdom was something like Plato and Socrates spoke of. Because where's Corinth? Greece. What's going on in Greece? People are looking at intellect and ability to think, and that being the height that we can attain, as smart as we can be. We're no smarter than the smartest person out there. Well, compared to God and compared to spiritual things, you don't want to be stuck there. Because if our 3-pound brains could figure out God, then would God be worthy of worship? I mean, oh, okay, some of you might have a 3.5-pound brain, okay? I'm stuck with what I got. But we're not, we cannot limit God. We can't even figure out how he spoke into the void and created the universe out of nothing, let alone creating man and woman out of man. And then went to a cross for our salvation as Jesus. And then sends the Holy Spirit. We can't get our picayune little brains wrapped around that. But that's God. That's Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. Paul goes back in verse 4. He says, "For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human?" Again, because who are they putting their focus on? They belong to Paul or Apollos. Well, who's Paul and who's Apollos? Now, Paul, we know, was one who was selected by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus, knocked off a horse and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" We know that his ministry was given to him by Jesus Christ above and beyond what the 12 disciples had. Paul says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Their servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned them." Again, whether it's Paul, Apollos, whether it's Billy Graham, whether it's anyone else who brings you to Christ, they're the person who's maybe nurturing the seed that's already been planted. But the growth comes from God. Listen to this. Paul says in verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." Apollos had a part, Paul had a part, but who has the greatest part? Who has the greatest impact? Who has the longest lasting impact? It's God. It's through his love and his grace and his promise that you and I have salvation at store for us instead of just an empty tombstone or an empty grave out there. Because no matter in 2,000 years, if there was something in that grave right now, there's going to be pretty much nothing in 2,000 years. 2,000 years from now, when Jesus, if Jesus comes back in the meantime, we have a hope and a promise that we're going to have that eternal life with him. I'm going to see my brother, my mother, my father. I'm going to see those loved ones that have gone before. Marie Felton's going to be up there. Dr. Felton's going to be. How many of those of you would love to see Dr. Felton again? Going to be there. That's the promise. And it's not based on some human person telling you that. This is something that you can accept in faith. What's faith? Hebrews. Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. This is a promise that you can't grasp and touch now, but you can have faith and hope for it. Verse 7, "So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything." Paul is saying, look, Apollos and I were earthly people who you listened to, but we're nothing because it's not me. Paul, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, we talked about this last week. What does Paul say? "I came not to preach out of earthly wisdom, but I came to preach what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That has nothing to do with lifting up any of us except through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Again, restating, Paul watered, Apollos. Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gives the growth. In this case, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, only God who gives the growth. So who is it that Paul is focusing on? Not so much the divisions. He's saying, look, instead of this guy's right or this guy's right, this guy's wrong, this guy's right, he's saying, look, forget all that stuff. What you do is you focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You focus on God because from God comes everything. From God we have the grace. From God we have the growth. From God we have love, peace, and eternal life and a promise. Jesus said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Is there any time when you can ever be alone? Only when you reject the Holy Spirit. No matter if there's no one else with you, if you're in the bottom of a deep well and sinking fast, He's still there with you. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose. Yes, Paul and Apollos are there for a reason. Christ has empowered them. They have a ministry. They're doing things that Christ has told them to do. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need to have that evidence in front of us. And sometimes those are people who are speaking and walking. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You and I, if we're truly Christians, we're to be following Jesus Christ. Well, what are we supposed to be doing? We're to be following the way, following the truth, speaking the truth, living the truth, and the way. Doing that exactly as Jesus did when He said, as you do unto the least of these, you do unto Me. The least. The last, the lonely, the poor, the ones in prison. As you do unto the least of these, you do unto Me. Verse 9, for we are God's servants working together. Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth when he says, you are God's field. You are God's building. And you know what? That's apropos to you today, right here at Clarksburg United Methodist Church. It's relevant to the people in Philippi. It's relevant to the people in Zor. It's relevant to the people in Lower. Regardless of where you are, when we come together and worship, we are God's servants working together. We're His field. We're God's building. What happens when you plant a field? You figure out what crop you're going to plant first. You look at whether or not it's going to, if it's the right climate, if it'll grow in this area, then you plant the field. You prepare the field, plant the crop. And then what do? You go out there and nurture and monitor and look at it and figure out whether it's got enough water in it, whether it's got too much water. And then when you get ready to harvest it, you have to figure out, is it too early to harvest based on the weather? Is it ready to harvest? None of those things do you know ahead of time. Right, Tommy? Right, Vaughn? Sorry. Tommy's not there. I wrote Tommy here because I figured he might be there. But you're God's field. He's the one who's chosen what you are going to be. You know, you reap what you sow. How many times have we heard that? If we sow justice and mercy, then we reap the kingdom of God. You're God's field. We are God's field together. Almost looks like rows, right? What's planted in each one of these rows? We got to work on this one and this one because and that one because there's nothing in there. Think about that. we have to work on the field. We have to work on the people that are here. We have to work on the people that are out there. Not out there in the graveyard, but out there in the bigger Middlesex County. God's already done with them, or has completed his work in them. You're God's field. So are they. So we need to be working in God's field. We need to be working with that same spirit. Are we Paul? Apollos? Yeah. But we're going to have a task to do, and we will reap what we sow. Follow Jesus. Follow God. Be blessed with the Holy Spirit. Shalom. Amen.